Hello, it's Doug here. Wanted to pop in before I send it to the interview and let you know I've kind of put together a mini series on local newsletters. They're local brands overall. There might be social media as part of the mix, but mainly they're email lists targeted at a locality. And there's a couple things that are pretty surprising, right? Number one, the interviewees that I've talked to, a lot of times they're pretty fresh into it. Now I know local newsletters have been around for a long time. There's some established players, which I think some of the newcomers are learning from. But the thing is, these guys that I've talked to so far, specifically Jazz over at Winnipeg Digest and today Michael Kaufman at the Catskill Crew, they are fairly new to the newsletter world overall. And this person that sort of triggered me to look at this stuff a little bit more, two folks, good friends, Shauna Newman over at Skip Blast. I've talked to her many times and she's working on her own newsletter, but she hasn't got the same traction that Jazz and Michael have. And the other person is Brooks Conkle. He has the Mobile something. I get confused with all the names out there. We'll put it in the show notes to make sure we give Brooks a proper call out here. But it's been interesting because it sounds like you can get these local newsletters going fairly quickly. Like many business models, there's different focuses that you can have and different monetization that you can aim towards. And like most things, it might not work out how you think, but usually you're able to pivot and make it work out. And yeah, Michael's doing awesome overall here and Jazz is doing great. If you missed that interview a couple weeks ago, the thing that shocked me with Jazz is he's 23. So he's young as an entrepreneur, but he's doing really well with execution. And I think I even mentioned in the intro of the interview, like Jazz and I talked a little bit after the interview ended and he was asking like really smart questions as I'm now an elder. So he was like, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And it's cool. Like when you do these interviews, like you get to chat for a little bit afterwards. So anyway, these are cool to learn about. And whenever I talk to someone, like they're very encouraging for me to start something. And I am trying not to start new things, but they are so enthusiastic and they've gotten traction really well. And it does make me consider starting a local newsletter, but I've stuck to my guns so far and I've been lazy, which is obviously easier to do. So this is a great interview. Hopefully I'll be able to chat with Michael again in the future with Jazz also, and just hear like maybe every 6 months or every quarter, like check in and see how it's going. I think I had a fun time with the conversations and I hope that comes through in the interviews. But usually if we have a good time, like folks are happy to come on back on the show and everything. So if you have any specific questions, you know, Michael and Jazz have, you know, mentioned how you can get in touch with them. But if you want to, if you're like, I don't remember, you can shoot me an email, feedback@doug.show, and I could route it to them for the next interview. Usually that's how it's going to work. The other thing I hope that is on the horizon is doing more interviews with SaaS founders. So a few weeks ago, I talked to Zach Welchel, who I met at a conference few months ago at this point. And we had a nice time. Meeting in person is a great way to establish those relationships. It's more fun, more personal, of course. And the fact that, you know, people travel to a conference, like they have some skin in the game and you're roughly trapped at a hotel. So you're just kind of hanging out anyway. And he has a cool company, which he decided to sponsor the show a little bit. So shout out to My Budget Coach. And I'm not big on, I don't love following a budget myself, but there's a lot of different ways to do it. In a budget, honestly, it can set you free as far as setting up a system, moving forward, and seeing good, consistent results all the time. And I do have a proper ad read. And if you're wondering, where does my money go? This one's for you. Do you find yourself at the end of the month wondering where all your money went? Are you frequently on the verge of overdrafting your accounts? If so, you should try My Budget Coach. My Budget Coach is the first budgeting app that connects you to a real-life coach from day one. You'll work together with your coach to create a realistic budget that will allow you to plan for the future while still enjoying today. The word budget gets a bad rap, but this is because people think of a budget as restricting, and that is part of my issue. But the thing is, it's actually freeing. A budget is just a plan for your money, and it's a plan that you set. So having a plan is better than no plan at all, and you could change it at any point. As we know, and I talk about this with business projects or really anything, like you can have a plan, but the only thing we know about the plan is it's not going to be quite right, and you're going to have to be flexible and adapt. And since My Budget Coach is both online and an app on your phone, you could budget on the go. And it can even sync transactions with your bank account. My Budget Coach is a zero-based budget model, which is like a digital envelope system. And if you don't know what that is, you could listen to the interview with Zach. But overall, this simplifies everything. It makes it very easy to understand, and it's very straightforward. And that, I mean, honestly, when I have done budgets and tried to stick to it, zero-based budgeting is what I ended up using. So it's perfect for people with consistent salaries, like when I had a corporate job, or if you have fluctuating incomes, like a side hustler, or when I became an entrepreneur. You can't really count on exactly set in stone incomes. Revenue goes up and down, and sometimes it's outside of your control. And the built-in coach feature ensures that you can get through any tough spots along the way, or if you need a little encouragement, that is what a coach is for. So you could message your coach at any time or set up a one-on-one call as you need them. With My Budget Coach, you could finally take control of your spending and feel in control of your money. So you can start your free trial today, which I think is 35 days, if I remember right. And you just head over to mybudgetcoach.com or follow the link in the description here, and it'll send you right over. So I want to thank My Budget Coach. And if you're curious more about hearing the specific interview with Zach, we'll link up to that. It was just a few weeks ago when we did the full interview. So I think now we could send it to the interview with Michael Kaufman from Catskill Crew. And I mean, he shares so much. I mean, these have been a masterclass for me in just marketing and working on a local newsletter. So let's get to it. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to The Doug Show. My name's Doug Cunnington, and today I'm talking to Michael Kaufman. And Michael, welcome today. I think we have like some cool intersecting stories. You actually know sort of the area that I live in, which is the Front Range here in Colorado. Where are you out of?
I'm in Catskill Mountains, so probably a little less snow than you have right now, but we still got it.
All right. And we're talking local newsletters today and local branding. But as we were doing like pre-interview chat, which I kind of like to do, especially we haven't met before, so this is like within 5 minutes of us meeting or so, just hearing about your history with startups in various industries, your kind of desire to just bootstrap and keep things kind of simple. And that's what led you, I think, to some of the newsletter stuff. But just to get to know you a little bit more, like what was your background? Did you go to college? What did you study? What were those first couple years looking like when you got out of school, if you went?
Yeah, terrible student. I can't fake something. You know, I can't pretend to care if I don't actually fundamentally care. So I was a history major, which has always been interesting to me. And about junior year in college, I started a beverage company. We were making this thing out of our apartment in the North End in Boston. And we got a call from an investor, and he was like, "Hey, I tried your product." P.S. We have no idea how he ever got the product. He was in Wisconsin, and we still don't know. And he's like, "Send me over a business plan." And pitch decks were not a thing. And it was like 40-page business plans. I was like, "Absolutely, no problem, Tom. I'm on it." Went on Google. I was like, "What is a business plan?" I was like, "Holy crap, I need 2 weeks." And we raised some money. I was naive, which is experience is what you get after you need it. We undercapitalized, but we had a killer product. Partnered with folks behind Sobe and Arizona, and ended up having an opportunity to sell to Bacardi, and realized we got in bed with the wrong people for capital raising, learned some tough lessons fast, and pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, and shut it down. Ended up working for Jay Walker, who's the founder of Priceline, prolific inventor, 300 patents, and he just acquired TEDMED, an affiliate of TED Talks. And this was when Fitbit, Nike Fuel Bands, all those fitness trackers were taking off. And it's like, holy crap, you know, like I'm going to have a six pack and be able to run 10 miles finally in no time. And within 2 weeks, no one wore them. And I was like, what the hell happened there? And my hypothesis was that the hardware is good. The software of tracking 10,000 steps every day sucks and is pretty subpar. So again, naive enough to start a healthcare company, building games on top of health data. Ended up consulting for big healthcare, which pays well and is probably the most boring thing you could ever do in your entire life. And then rapid fire, a bunch of little startups in between, back into the beverage industry, recapitalizing, relaunching beverages. But yeah, startups are everything. It's all I know how to do is kind of sit around, think about ideas, and try to make them a reality.
And we're talking newsletters today, but I do want to backtrack. So what was the beverage originally?
The beverage originally was Ember. It was a detox beverage. So it was actually like, look, I was a college kid who experienced terrible hangovers. My hangovers were worse than the normal person's. So you can imagine what they are like 15 years later, debilitating. Send me a doctor and a priest and a rabbi after a glass of wine. And yeah, we had the opportunity to partner with some really, really bright people who left traditional pharma and started holistic health company. And we were doing this really just for our own kind of, I don't know, it was like a passion project. Could we solve the hangover? And I always said, like, we put a man on the moon. Of course, we could solve the hangover. And one day, we concocted this killer beverage. I mean, there's still nothing on the market that, you know, holds a flame to it. And it was incredible. It's a really tough industry because you're fundamentally changing behaviors, especially when someone's like, all they care about is greasy pizza at the end of the night. You're like, hey, think ahead about tomorrow. So it's a tough industry in terms of behavior change. But it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. And I think the most exciting thing for any entrepreneur still lights me up and charges me is when you have an idea and you see it become a reality, whether it's a digital website or app or physical product going down the manufacturing line, you're just like, I can't believe we're here. I can't believe we did it.
Very cool. So when did you start the local newsletter? And you can share what it is and we'll dig into, you know, the business model overall and monetization, growing the newsletter, the grind and all that stuff. But what was the origin story here?
Yeah, still I was building a startup in the outdoor space. So, you know, it was an outdoor hospitality company and it morphed over time. We started partnering with some legends in the hospitality space. And I started seeing this thing get more and more complex and capital intensive. I mean, we went from raising $300,000 to raising $20 million. And there was no end in sight for that journey. And I just felt the headwinds. I wasn't excited about the direction of the company. Getting on a call every single day to capital raise, update pitch decks, it removes you from the product. It removes you from, for me, what passionately lights me up. And I finally got burnt out and I got a bunch of fly rods back there on the wall. And I packed my car with fly rods, went out west, Colorado, Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, Montana. And I was like, I want to build something. I don't want to have to capital raise ever again. I want it to be community focused. And I'd never built a newsletter before, but I knew I could do it. I knew the tools were out there and I knew I could probably create something that had a stickiness factor. And I kind of was looking at where are the opportunities and they're infinite. And so I decided to go with local newsletter. I live in the Catskill Mountains. It's a really interesting place with proximity to Manhattan. A lot of weekenders, a lot of city folks who've moved here full time, myself included. And a lot of kind of old school locals. And the big thing for me is like, I hate social media. Finding events are up here is really, and everywhere is really hard. And, you know, Zuckerberg's algorithm has really messed with small business. They have no conduit to the local community anymore. As I've heard a trillion times, they used to be able to post for free and get massive organic traction. Then they'd have to pay to get that massive traction. Now they can't even pay to get what they once got for free. And so I do believe that local newsletters fundamentally play an important part in a community for the local businesses and the community itself. And it does represent kind of this new form of local media as, you know, local newspapers die out, you know, there still needs to be this backbone. And so, you know, I started Catskill Crew, really highlighting the events and then, you know, leaning into what lights me up, which is the history and the culture and the community. And I was like, holy crap, like first newsletter out, like 100 subscribers. This is nuts. My mom was number one. Thanks, mom. And then it grew to 1,000, then 2,000, then 3,000 pretty organically. And we can get into kind of the growth tactics there. Then, you know, I threw some fuel on the flames and pumped some money into ads. And now we're sitting above 10,000 a year after making it. And, you know, that's really special. It lights me up.
That's awesome. And so there's 10,000 subscribers and you've been running this about a year?
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, less than a year. I really kind of leaned in, you know, around Christmas time last year. So, you know, now I've gone from about 5,000 to 10,000 in 60 days. Open rate continues to go higher. Monetization is keeping pace there. So, you know, even with the growth, I'm maintaining kind of the consistency, the authenticity that I think got me where the newsletter is today, rather.
Got it. Okay. And can you share revenue numbers? And you don't have to if you don't want to, but people want me to ask. So whatever you're comfortable sharing or not sharing is great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I am the worst accountant. My accountant finally got me on QuickBooks because I'm terrible at tracking this stuff. But for example, I did $10,000 roughly in the last 7 days. You know, I think I'm on track to do about 60,000 in the next 45 days. And, you know, I think the big thing here is like revenue comes in waves. Look, everyone's kind of journey is different. Everyone who has a newsletter or a local newsletter, they have different approaches to monetization. Some are just, you know, an ad each time. I say no to advertisers nonstop because I think it actually devalues the experience and my brand. And I'm really trying to build something way more than just a newsletter. I'm trying to build a local brand, a local holding company. And so I spend a lot of time, I kind of bucket revenue in two different kind of structures, two different buckets. You have traditional monetization, which is very much just, you know, ads, sponsors, and then you have creative monetization, which is, you know, for me, it's discount cards like my Catskill Crew card here, which is just a discount card with 10 local businesses. I sell these for $25 each. The community voted that they wanted them. The community priced them. I'm doing custom Monopoly boards that are being manufactured right now. So my cost is about $9.50. I'm selling those for $59.99. I do merch drops. I do events. I'm kind of all over the place. And I think that's what keeps it interesting for me. And I think that's also what keeps subscribers coming back. They know it's not going to be just laden with ads. It's, you know, this is meaningful, fun stuff that engages the community, that highlights this area. So revenue's all over the place. You have months where I might make $100 and months where I'll make, you know, 25,000.
And it's so early too, in the growth trajectory too. It's like in whatever, another quarter, you could have like twice as many subscribers. Like who knows the sort of sharing or the growth patterns and that sort of thing. So it could be like, quote, underpriced currently. And like, yeah, so I understand the waves. It could be pretty crazy.
100%. And I think like this is actually something that's very interesting because I realized like at some point I'm going to cap out at what I can charge my local community. So for an ad, let's say, I think CPMs should be thrown out the window. I might be the only person in that camp. I go to every business with, you know, understanding what they're trying to sell, what their goals are, and then I put together a custom package based on what I think is a fair price. If they come back to me and they're like, Michael, we can't afford this. I'm like, cool, what can you afford? Let's structure something around that that's custom, because when they sign on with me, it's an endorsement. I am, you know, that's why I have to say no all the time, because I want, when I partner with a business or a product or a location, I want it to be a full endorsement and partnership. And I think there's only so much you could charge small businesses. Now, you could lean into the higher higher LTV businesses, be that architects, be that doctors, dentists, HVAC, yeah, you could charge them a little bit more. But that's why I think, like, as your subscriber numbers grow, it's a really good opportunity to examine that and then see, hey, how can I actually monetize the subscribers in, and I'll say this to exhaustion, in an authentic way. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're trying to just like do a money grab, you're not going to win in the long term. You might make some money for sure, but you're leaving a lot kind of on the sideline. And so, you know, I very much focus on subscriber LTV versus, you know, advertiser revenue. That might change, but that's kind of how I've gone into it from day one.
Okay. So let's back up just a little bit. How big is sort of the community population-wise that you're serving or attempting to?
Yeah, it's massive. I think I have a pretty unique and challenging geography. So the Catskills, people will drive 2 hours from one side to the other. We have like 450,000 under the population of the counties that I cover, but I also kind of bleed outside of that. So, you know, I've gotten some feedback in the past. It's like, hey, that event's not in the Catskills. No, it's not geographically in the boundaries of the Catskill National, the Catskill Forest. But the idea is that, hey, if you live here, yeah, you could travel 20 minutes outside and it's still an exciting event, or it's still something great to do. So, you know, I think there's pros and cons to kind of the expanse of that geography versus, hey, I'm covering a suburb or a city. But yeah, it's a massive region. It could take 3 hours to drive from east to west, and 2.5 hours from north to south.
And you alluded to it earlier, but people go on vacation there, so it's even bigger than that, because people might hop on the newsletter. Maybe they have a vacation home there, or they go there whatever every holiday season with their family or something. Is it that kind of place?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even less than that, where, you know, to get to the Catskills from New York City could be an hour and a half, just kind of like get into there. It's about 2 hours and 15 minutes to where I live. So people are coming up here all the time. I have a ski mountain, you know, a quarter mile down the road. So people are coming up here all the time. I mean, it's the only downtime from a vacationer standpoint and tourism standpoint, it's April. We call that mud season. It's the only kind of time you don't really want to be up here. So yeah, I mean, I think like from the vacationer standpoint, it's a whole other opportunity. And as I kind of think about and have conversations with local newsletter builders, they're always talking about, I'm going to take the model and then expand to a different city or different geography. There's nothing wrong with that. However, personally, I think it's better to go deeper into a community. So okay, you have your local newsletter on events. Now you have one about culture, then history, then for vacationers and tourism, then for parents. Each one of these, you're compounding the brand trust, and you are not starting from scratch in terms of rebuilding an audience. And I think if you're looking at it from a subscriber LTV standpoint as well, like, you're just creating such a massive kind of wormhole for monetization. Each one of those can really produce significant numbers if you understand the subscriber problems. And do not guess what the subscriber problems are. You have tools like polls and surveys. Ask the right questions, gain the insights, build stuff they want, invest in local businesses that you know these people want, own a small percent, promote those. Like, it's incredible what's possible here.
Let's go to growth and how you started getting the first subscribers in the beginning, and what you're doing now, of course.
Yeah, I always kind of think you can, I tell folks that you should be able to get about 500 to 1,000 subscribers in 10 days. And it sounds, without spending a penny, it sounds aggressive, and it is. But I think the most important thing is, a lot of, in order to grow, you need a brand that resonates and that speaks to that community. And so spend time on the branding, because most newsletters have such subpar branding. It's really not hard to stand out. You have tools like Canva, Midjourney, you name it. It's never been easier. And so once you lock that in, start promoting events, for example. I mean, whatever your content niche is, define that. Events are always a winner from what I've seen. And what I did was, I would highlight, I don't know, anywhere from 30 to 100 events per week. It got crazy at one point, and I've throttled down since then for my own sanity and probably my subscriber sanity. Curation is key. And what I would do is then post that on Instagram. I would tag all those businesses. I would make them look really good in these posts to the point that they wanted to share it. And I grew, you know, over 500 subscribers in 10 days. And I kept that up for quite some time until, I just hate social media. And so I kind of stepped out of that world a little bit. I dabble and I play there, but I'd rather put my efforts elsewhere. So you can grow organically quite easily through social media, riding the coattails of the local businesses by making them look good, creating content that's very shareable. From there, find communities like Reddit. A lot of folks have had a great amount of success just posting events or news. And then at the very bottom, being honest and just being like, hey, if you want the entire list, subscribe to my newsletter. It's totally free. You can unsubscribe anytime. You have apps like the Ring Neighbors app. Same opportunity there. Facebook groups. Don't go in and just be like, subscribe. Offer some value. And then just humbly like kind of put a little nest egg there that says, hey, if you want to learn more, we're here. So that's the easiest way from an organic standpoint. You get out what you put in. And I kind of remind everyone, spend time on the brand. Make it look good because it's going to resonate with the subscribers. You're going to look more premium. It's going to attract more advertisers. And the businesses you promote are way more willing to promote your newsletter because it looks legitimate.
So did you have much of a following on Instagram?
Zero. Literally, I have zero posts on my personal Instagram. I've never promoted Catskill Crew on my Instagram once, to my own detriment, right? Like, it's just not really how I use it. And so I've grown this thing organically to a couple thousand subscribers before I kind of turned on the Zuckerberg ad machine, which it works, you know, and I tell everyone start earlier because I started late, you know, and the more money you invest into this, the more growth you have, the quicker you can recoup that investment through charging more for advertisers or, again, monetizing your subscribers.
And I see over on Catskill Crew Instagram, you have about 9,000 followers there. So that's a respectable number. So if you do, you know, share some things, now people are like, oh, like this is a sort of a prominent social profile here in the community, right?
Yeah, it's funny because there's kind of a... when you're building a local newsletter, you then have social accounts and you're like, how do these fit in to what I'm building? And there's some local newsletter builders who have a higher social following than they do newsletter. Jazz, as an example, he's done an incredible job, you know, monetizing his social and then having this additional newsletter kind of as a tool in his toolbox for monetizing. For me, it's always been about the newsletter growth. And I think even when you're small, it feels a little kind of underground. Like if you're following Catskill Crew, like you're in the know. And then I realized, you know what? I'm not monetizing or promoting any businesses on Catskill Crew's Instagram, but it is my storefront. It is the numbers that the businesses can see that unfortunately are kind of a vanity metric and legitimizer for the newsletter itself because they can't go into my beehive and see what my metrics are. They just kind of have to trust me. And so I started saying, okay, you know what? Don't invest too much time and effort into the social standpoint, but invest enough where you look legitimate.
Okay. And that's a perfect way to put it. The way we were introduced is our friend Shauna Newman, and she has a brand that she's working on in the Las Vegas area. And one thing that Jazz pointed out, because I asked him, hey, what do you think her issue is? Because she hasn't been able to convert as much as she thought just over the last 6 months or whatever that she's been working on it. Jazz proposed that it might be just like a low social following. So it's harder for her to like close deals and that sort of thing. And it makes sense to me. So what you just mentioned sounds just right. It's like invest some time. It helps you get that quick start as well. And of course, the businesses are out there trying to share stuff, trying to get traction. So even if you have no followers, if it pops up on their feed, they're like, oh, wow, someone's paying attention to us, right? So simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think every demographic, every geography, you know, who are you targeting? Who are you speaking to? Are you going for a younger audience? Are you going for an older audience? Are you going for, you know, parents? You want to define that and then just kind of let destiny take the wheel. So I was targeting a younger audience. I don't really have any Facebook presence because I don't have a Facebook. I don't want a Facebook. And, you know, I do run Meta ads, which has attracted an older demo. So I do get the AOL, emails now flowing in. I'm like, right on. But, you know, who are those folks? So I was targeting a very young demo in terms of, like, I'd say 25 to about 45. And then it just started naturally kind of attracting other people, especially as I highlight the history of this area, which really resonates with people. The history of the Catskills is so rich and deep. And, you know, it's funny because, like, I don't really cover news. I cover, like, the history, the culture, and then the events. That's my primary bucket. And so all of these kind of resonate with different people. Some people aren't really looking for things to do. They just kind of want to know a little bit of history. Like this week, I have some of the ghost slopes of the Catskill Mountains, the first ski mountains, which have just kind of eroded away. They shut down and have been consumed by the mountains again. And, like, that's really exciting. The history of fly fishing in the area, the history of hunting, the old hotels that were kind of the original vacationing places of America. And so, yeah, I could go into a tangent on that, but to focus back, I think it's very important to understand your demo and then how to speak to them. What is that voice? Some, for me, I am just myself, which is makes life pretty easy. But, you know, if you have a different demo, you might have to kind of, you know, bob and weave till you figure out what resonates with them.
One thing I noticed with my audience over time is you tend to attract people that have a similar background because you use a certain vocabulary, your perspective is a certain way. So I came from, like, the IT world and, you know, tech and that sort of thing. So a lot of the audience, you know, fits that sort of background. Not everyone, but I mean, the majority. It makes it much easier, like you said, because then I could just do whatever I want. And then the audience kind of picks itself instead of me trying to force what I want. It sounds like you just talk about stuff you want to talk about. You're an outdoorsman, right? So fly fishing, travel, the history, like, it all comes together. What do you sort of, like, check yourself? Like, hey, am I just being too self-indulgent? Or do you just, like, if I'm interested, other people are interested? How do you set that bar, right?
It's a funny thing, man. It's really, I could go kind of in a couple different directions here. People respond very positively to just me in terms of, like, how I write. It's a very friendly, it's how I speak to everyone. It's friendly, it's approachable, it's not too serious. It's hopefully rich in value, not all the time. And so I think, like, one, it's that tone of voice, and it's kind of, it stands out in a sea of kind of just crappy inbox, inbox kind of spam. Two, you know, I kind of ebb and flow. Every newsletter is a little different. Again, I have this primary bucket, which is events. But before you get to events, I have kind of whatever's piquing my interest. I'll tell a story about how I went out 4 days straight trying to catch this one rainbow trout and got skunked. And people love that. Or I'll talk about, you know, deer season is opening up and what that means and, you know, wear your blaze orange so you don't accidentally look like a buck. I'll talk about the history. I'll talk about, you know, some of the famous artists in the area, alive or dead. And I think, like, that kind of playfulness and adventure is kind of part of how I live life and how I kind of write my newsletter. I run surveys all the time to understand which content buckets resonate. What do you want to see more of? What do you want to see less of? And people love kind of the outdoor stories of, you know, me getting lost in the woods or hiking up this mountain and not bringing enough water or, you know, whatever it may be. And I think it's also kind of a gateway for them to experience these areas, to understand what fly fishing is like, to understand, you know, what hiking giant ledge is like in the middle of winter. And, oh, you know what? I never hiked Giant Ledge. It's only a 45-minute drive. Let's go check that out. So I think it's holding someone's hand and bringing them into my world. And you don't have to be an angler to, like, appreciate fly fishing. There's a reason why I think the most quantity, the richest quantity, the heaviest quantity, I haven't had enough coffee, of literature has been written about fly fishing, because it just resonates with people. It's not about catching the fish. It's about getting outside. It's the least efficient way to catch a fish. Right. Use a worm. Don't use a fly. It's harder.
You know, I never got into, well, fishing in general. Like, my family just, we didn't fish. But I lived in Bozeman for 4 years, which is one of the, I mean, that's like a world-class place, right? You got the Madison,
the yeah. East Gallatin, the Stone. You guys are set. The Highlight yeah. Creek, which are, yeah, I've yeah. fished it all, buddy. It's yeah, amazing. Yeah.
It's a beautiful area, but I would get out and like take some photos and stuff, but I would see, see guys in the water. And I mean, they're just having a blast. There's no one around. There's like a buck right behind. I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. And I'm like, I don't know why I didn't get it, but it was never about the fish, right? It was like, you're outside.
It's not about the fish.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember the problems we all have when you're standing in a river. And it's impossible to remember them when you have a fish on the other line. Impossible. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. So I think, highlighting the culture, I think I don't want to say like I represent the Catskills. No, that's crazy. But I just live a life that's very much harmonious to the Catskill Mountains. And I think that resonates with a lot of people. And, if you think your lifestyle and your voice will resonate with people in your area, lean into that. If you don't think so, don't, or test it. It's risk-free. Worst comes to worst, you lose a couple subscribers. You're not going to have a mass exodus unless you do something really unholy. But yeah, I would advise to stay away from like just having AI or a virtual assistant write your content. Look, it could help you. It could help kind of fine tune some of the content you're trying to put out in the world. But you're going to lose that special touch. Like I write every newsletter as if I'm talking directly to one of my subscribers. How I write is how I speak. And I think that's a big reason why I've been able to kind of sustain this growth and, really reduce the churn as it grows.
How many emails do you send out?
One a week, every Tuesday, and goes out usually around 3 p.m. Eastern, 50% open rate in the first hour. So like, I want it to be like, oh, Catskill Crew email, let's check out what's going on. I don't think there's anything wrong with sending more. There's folks in the newsletter club, which is the community I run for local newsletters, that send out four newsletters a week. For me, it just doesn't work. That cadence is always open to be reconsidered. I've looked at writing another local newsletter based on the feedback from subscribers around real estate. So I was going to add that on Thursdays. And I've been hesitant to pull the trigger on it because I think in real estate, you start entering into the world of money and, you have a property that's worth $300,000. That's not that great. $600,000. Nice. And then a $2.5 million house. And it's like, okay, this is real estate porn, but I think it can erode at kind of the good vibes only. And, working with realtors has its own challenges. I think in general, there's a misalignment between me and them, which is, yes, everyone needs to make money, but you're just looking for the next sale. You want your advertisers, you want as an advertiser to just be front and center and to find that next sale or new client. I get it, but it's just a little abrasive to kind of my likeness that I'm able to have fun with.
You don't have any real estate agents in the family, do you?
No, but I got some friends who are agents. Them.
Okay. All right. Don't tell them. Yeah. And I have a lot of friends. Yeah. It's the worst. Yeah. The incentives are all misaligned. They're horrible to work with. It's like a used car salesman. They just sell houses,
Hopefully when I bought this house, 2022, I've been up here for longer. I put in an offer and the realtor responded back to my realtor and was like, can you please tell your client we're only accepting serious offers? And I was like, oof, no, same offer. I'm doing the same offer. And he was like, congratulations, you got the house. And I was like, damn. I was like, I respect the hustle, but that is a dirty tactic. And so, I think like in terms of like my good vibes only, I don't touch politics. I don't really touch anything that is really negative. So, we had forest fires up here very recently that didn't make much news. And I didn't really want to get into it because look, people are going to get that news elsewhere. I want this to kind of be an oasis of community, of bringing people together. And I think that maintains kind of precedent as I move forward.
So going back in your story here, you're a good communicator. You raised money, like you had to sell. You were in, a few different startups, different world. Did you have any experience like sort of working online? Like a lot of people are looking to get started with this as a side hustle. Did you have any websites in the past or did you do any marketing writing aside from like I said, of course you were raising money. So all that's marketing, but it's different. It's totally different.
It is very different. I would say in general, no. I've been playful with Instagram accounts that were supposed to be community oriented that I wanted to launch and build stuff off of, but it's completely different than the written word or, you know, really building a website that is, you know, in this kind of domain. I think anyone could do it. I think some people are probably better at others, but than others. But I do think I come back to the idea of like experience is what you get after you need it. Like just freaking start. We all want perfection, or some of us, I think it's about like, I still, you know, I just launched 1-800-FLY-FISH, which is a newsletter for fly fishing. And my goal is to launch an outdoor media company, use that as a platform to then launch a products business. Only once I understand what the core problems are and if this product resonates with them. Okay, so part of me was like, you know, I proved I could grow this local newsletter. You know, the tactics are relatively the same, but also radically different. I sat there with, again, I send a weekly newsletter out. I haven't missed a week in 56 weeks or something. I sat there looking at this template like, all right, I'll come back to it another day. Because like, there's still that fear. It's still very personal. You're still sharing something that reflects you. And look, no one likes getting the door slammed on their face, but like, it is part of the journey. And failure gets you one step closer to success and all that stuff. But it's still like, primitively, you're like, I'm not ready to hit send tomorrow. And, you know, I still experience that. And I think the best thing in the world is just smash and send, closing your laptop, walking away, and then trying not to look at your phone in the metrics or whatever it is, the results for give yourself some time. Sometimes we can't do that. Sometimes you're like, let me just check. It's been 2 minutes. 7 opens. Nice. You know, no one subscribes. But I think there's something very freeing in just creating something and putting it out in the world and seeing what resonates. And look, it might fall flat on its face. Good. You learned something. Now, if you have the wherewithal, the endurance, the you know, just the passion and persistence, get back up, try again, switch it up. Hey, I heard you. I understand you guys didn't like this. I'm changing up the tactics. Let me know what you think below. Wow, most people really like this. Okay. I'm starting to fine tune the approach here. And so just get out there. You don't need to have experience building this type of stuff. There's enough content online, like what you're creating. There's enough tools out there that are low code, literally no code, and you could get going in an afternoon. Do not expect to go to 10,000 subscribers on day one. Like that's craziness. It's going to take time because you're building trust. You're building a voice that resonates with people. And I think the amazing thing is once you keep hitting send consistently, people build trust with you. Opportunities, you know, open up. The universe smacks you on the ass and goes, hell yeah. Like things happen. And I think that's the most amazing thing. Like I have no idea where Catskill Crew will take me. No idea where 1-800-FLY-FISHING will take me or the newsletter club. But just consistently show up, add value for other people, have fun with it. If it's not fun for you, you're in trouble. You won't stay the course. Life's too short not to have fun.
So we got to start wrapping up. I know you have a hard stop. So you've shared so much. I'm curious if you've had any missteps, any mistakes along the way, because it sounds like everything's kind of working out really well and good growth, excellent monetization numbers. What are some mistakes you made along the way?
Specifically in the world of newsletters, I would say some mistakes I've made have been not to put money on growth. You know, I reached this point where I was like, you know what? I'm getting 100 subscribers, you know, every 2 weeks. Or, you know, this month I grew 400 subscribers. It's, there's only so much upside I can charge for these businesses. I now advise everyone to take whatever you can. If it's $5 a day, pump it into ads. If it's $20, $50, get creative with it, because that audience is how you are going to make money. And it's not all about money. But look, this is a business and you need to be able to monetize it. And so you can monetize that audience through traditional and creative monetization. So the bigger the audience, the better. But also make sure you're spending time on that click-through rate and creating content that people actually resonate with. Because if you're not doing that, it doesn't matter how big your vanity metrics are. It's worth nothing. So start your ads earlier. I would say connect with other people. I was building this alone, not on Twitter, not sharing this with anyone for a very long time. And I told a friend of mine that I did 10K in revenue, and he's like, gotta start a class. And I was like, I'm not starting a course, dude. Like, absolutely not. But I did decide to start building publicly with this. And then I just decided to launch the Newsletter Club, which is members only community of local newsletter builders. And that just lights me up. We're all sharing tactics. We're all compounding knowledge. We're all trying new things. Someone in Israel tries out this tactic. Then someone in Colorado is using that and going, holy crap, I just reduced my customer acquisition cost by, you know, 3/4. Now everyone's doing it. We are not competing with one another. So there's some real beauty in, you know, building the future of local journalism together. And this is not competition. So start teaming up. It doesn't matter if it's just getting on Twitter, talking to other people who are building, or joining the newsletter club. Talk to other people building whatever you're building. I would say, don't be afraid to start reaching out and you know, reaching out to businesses, start building relationships. A mistake I made was assuming I needed to hit a certain number of subscribers, 2,500, 3,000 to begin monetizing. No way. Go out there, take a local business you like, give them a free ad, follow up with them and say, hey, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Michael Kaufman. I run Catskill Crew, the best local newsletter in the area. We're growing quickly. I wanted to give you a free ad spot because I'm just a big fan of your business. Here's the data to show how significant, you know, the traction is, how much that resonated with, you know, our subscribers. If you're ever interested in, you know, being an advertiser, would love to have a conversation. When they come knocking on your door, which they will, negotiate on a non-CPM basis. Be like, hey, would you guys be willing to do $200? No? How about $150? Great. Sign that deal. Take that money. Dump it into further growth. And guess what? Their competitor is now going to see the ad because they're going to start promoting it. And then they're going to knock on your door and the snowball is going to start ripping. So get out there. Don't be afraid of perfection. Start marketing this thing. Get off go. Connect with other people. Don't be afraid of failure. Easier said than done, but you are not your business. You know, look forward to failure.
Do you go to like in-person events? I know, you know, these events happen all the time. If you go look, you know, there's entrepreneurs in your community meeting to have coffee a couple times a week. So have you gotten out there shaking hands and all that kind of stuff?
I think naturally I'm just out there, not necessarily attending the events. I used to do that in the city, in New York City and in Boston when I was doing more tech startups. You know, now this is very much like mayor vibes. Just show up, wear your hat that says Catskill Crew. People are going to come up to you. Hey, I subscribe to the newsletter. I love it. Awesome. What do you love? What do you hate? You know, get feedback. I think one of the best things I've done is not attend the events. I put on the events now and I get paid to do that, which is nice. So, you know, the events I put on with Catskill Crew, I've done everything from happy hours to booze cruises, to holiday parties, to barbecues, to foraging walks. Those businesses pay me to promote their business. All of them have had, you know, revenue breaking days, which is fantastic. And I can lean into that, but I'm meeting the businesses, the business owners, other business owners, community members, subscribers, that type of thing. I would do that without even getting paid. Yeah, I think it's really incredible to kind of position yourself as, I don't want to say a linchpin, but deeply rooted in your own community. And through that, you know, again, my goal here is to build a holding company specifically based in the Catskills. I know so many local business owners, when the time is right, you know, knock on their door. Hey, I would love to buy you out. I'd love to own a little piece of this business. This is why you want me on your board. This is why you want me involved. You know, I'm a partner in a fly fishing business. I'm trying to secure a commercial real estate space, a commercial space right down the road here. It's really amazing to be a part of a community in a world where we're so connected yet so far apart. Man, it's good for your body and your brain to know who your neighbors are.
And that's so insightful about being the hub, like the organizer of stuff, because people are bad at it. They don't like organizing things. So even if you pull together sort of a small event, like you're the person putting it on, so everyone knows who you are. You could even be kind of behind the scenes, but they still know who you are. Very cool. All right.
You don't have to be an introvert either. Like, just get out there, sit at the table with your hat on, let people come to you. Just do it. It's worth it.
So as we're wrapping up here, I think I have like 2 to 3 more questions. Number one, a lot of the interviews that I've done around local newsletters, they are the first newsletter in their community. But I feel like it's okay if there's competition because you have your own personal perspective. And if you're writing it yourself, do you have any thoughts on competition, or what if there's already a couple newsletters in your community?
Yeah, I think like inevitably, whether you're first or third, you know, there is going to be competition in some standpoint. Look, you have publications who are already out there who might have a newsletter as well, who are, you know, print. Work together. You know, I know that's probably harder said than done to some degree, to knock on someone's door who has 10,000 subscribers and be like, hey, I just want to introduce myself. I'm starting a local newsletter as well. But, you know, and be honest, just be like, look, I'm a huge fan of what you've built. I've gotten a ton of value. I'm looking to build a local newsletter. This is my angle. Don't go direct. It's not necessary. You know, again, kind of find the gaps in the market. It might not be, you know, it might not even be the biggest audience is the most monetizable. You know, it might be parents with kids. So often I get emails from folks saying, you know, can you put more events in for, you know, parents with kids, events in for parents with kids? Yeah, but I don't really have enough space and I don't have kids. I got a, you know, 70-pound dog right here. So I do think like find what speaks to you, find what excites you, and lean into that. It could be the art and culture. It could be the music scene. It could be the outdoor scene. It could be experiences. It could be for the parents. It could be for the young folks going to nightclubs. There's nothing wrong with niche down, you know, niche all the way down, baby.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right. The newsletter club, is that's what it's called? Tell me a little bit more about it. Who's it for? And does it cost anything? Do people just join up? What's the story?
Yeah, so it started as a place to bring serious builders who are creating local newsletters. And in order to be serious, you need to have some skin in the game. So it started at $100 for the first, you know, 20 members, sold out really quickly. Now we're at 53, 54 members. It's $300. That's flat rate for life. I think there's ways to monetize that more in the future. That is not my goal right now. Right now, it's to support local journalism, to support newsletter creators, for all of us to share and learn together. I am not the person pulling all the strings, sharing all the knowledge. There are brilliant people. We all have different strengths. We all have different weaknesses. We're all learning together. And I believe fundamentally, if we work together, we're going to go further together. You know, I'm starting to explore different micro niche kind of SaaS tools to ease my pain. And just as a result, we're all usually experiencing the same pain, specifically around growth and monetization. So yeah, right now it costs $300 to join for life. You do not have to be building a newsletter, but you sure should start soon. And there's folks who have 20,000 plus subscribers and some who are launching their first newsletter today. And, you know, we're all kind of hopping on calls every Wednesday. We have master classes on Friday where we deep dive topics from monetization to growth strategies to technology stacks we could use. It's an awesome place. I couldn't have gotten to where I am without the help I've gotten there as well.
That's cool. So it's like community led sessions and stuff. So someone like really learned a tool and they're like, hey, I want to share this, that kind of thing.
Wow. Yeah, we're deep diving Apollo on Friday. We did meta ad breakdowns the other day. We did, you know, how to structure and charge for events, and we'll continue to do more. It's possible that, you know, a lot of other folks have other newsletters as well, like myself, that aren't local newsletters. So these strategies do work elsewhere, right? But, you know, being able to be super fine tuned and focused allows us to kind of like, again, compound that knowledge and experience at a far more rapid pace.
If people are interested, where do they go to check it out?
You can check me out on Twitter, Mikey Pesto, long story behind that name, or the newsletter.club.
All right, cool. Well, we'll link up to that and people could check out Catskill Crew. Is there a website at all with it, or is it just like the landing page to sign up for the newsletter?
Just the landing page. I think that's probably a whole different conversation. Yeah. But, you know, if you do have a website, make sure it doesn't cannibalize the value of the newsletter and vice versa. So think ahead about how those two dance tango.
Got it. All right, Michael, this has been amazing. I'm going to link up so people can find all your stuff really easily. And it was great to meet you. Great to talk to you today.
Thanks for having me. Hope people learned something.